It's a small school in California. The smallest class size there was less than 10 students. And it's just on that campus, one tiny student group at that little school. So how did this small group end up having a high-profile case at the Supreme Court? In the end, this case asks if a public university can deny funding to a religious group if they refuse to sign non-discrimination codes of conduct. This is the case between the University of California's Hastings College of Law and its chapter of the Christian Legal Society. You can weigh in on this anytime at thetakeaway.org. One of our listeners has done that already. If gay students were allowed to join the group, someone named Truth in New York posts, they would no longer be Christian groups. Fitting the pattern, it would become a gay group calling themselves Christian while rejecting the very faith they seek to be included in. It wouldn't be the first time a political group tried to eradicate a religious group through assimilation. Give us your take at thetakeaway.org or call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. We're joined now by Greg Baylor. He's the senior legal counsel with the Alliance Defense Fund. The Alliance Defense Fund is providing counsel to the Christian Legal Society in the Supreme Court case. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Nice to have you. Also, Peter Smith, the lead attorney for Hastings Outlaw. That's a gay rights student group at Hastings that's also represented in this case on the other side of the issue. So, Greg, let me begin with you and ask you, what exactly are you claiming in this case? The university offered that if this group didn't want to sign their standard non-discrimination policy, as all of the other groups did, that they could still use the university rooms. They could still be a student group. They just couldn't get funding from the university. So what's the problem with that?
Well, what's at stake in this case is the right of Christian student groups to have equal participation in campus life without being forced to deny their faith. What's at stake here is much more than funding. CLS was denied equal access to meeting space. They were denied access to the various ways that student groups communicate with the campus community, privileges that have been bestowed on 60 other campus organizations. I think it's important to point out that CLS welcomes everyone to attend its meetings, to participate in its activities, but they do want to preserve their Christian message, and they limit leadership and the people who select the leaders to those who share their beliefs. This is a very common sense approach that CLS has. Many student organizations want to maintain who they are by choosing their messengers. It makes no sense to force, for example, an African American law students organization to have a white supremacist, not just as an attendee, which is one thing, but as a leader of the organization who is representing the group. We object to that, and that's why we filed this lawsuit.
Well, the problem that they had was when the group was asked to sign non-discrimination policies, and these are policies, the codes of conduct that the group had signed for years before this case came up. The group said someone who engages in unrepentant homosexual conduct cannot be a leader in the group. And you said that they weren't allowed to use facilities, but I have here a copy of the memo from the university saying if CLS wishes to form independent of the university, the school would be pleased to provide the organization the use of Hastings facilities for its meetings and activities. This is a non-discrimination policy that's part of the California Constitution. The Jewish group has also signed it. All of the other religious groups have signed it. What's the problem with non-discrimination?
Well, there's no problem with non-discrimination, and CLS has promised not to discriminate on the basis of categories that don't affect its message. Three times since Hastings made that promise about meeting space, CLS has sought meeting space, and in each case, Hastings slow-walked the request, and CLS was not permitted to use the meeting space. This is not about discrimination against people. This is about the right of a religious organization to choose its messengers, and it makes total sense for a group to say, look, we don't want an atheist leading our Bible study. If you want to lead our Bible study, you must believe that the Bible is an authoritative book that has truth in it. That's
okay.
The only
well, let me
thing
get a response on this from Paul Smith. He's the lead attorney for Hastings Outlaw. That's a gay rights group at Hastings College. He's also a partner in the litigation department of Jenner and Block. Paul, what about that? Would you want a white supremacist allowed to lead groups in an African-American organization?
First of all, what the policy says is that all students are allowed to become members of any group that the law school is going to pay for and subsidize. And it doesn't say they have a right to become the leader of the group. They have a right to be eligible for leadership. But more fundamentally, Greg says this case is about CLS's right to have equal participation in student life, but it's very clear all CLS is being asked to do is exactly what every other group is being asked to do, which is to remain, if they want to be paid for by the public money, remain open to all students who are contributing that money. They have a perfect right, which we strongly support, to not take the money and form a group, as like any other group of American citizens, and decide under their First Amendment rights who they want to have as members. But if they want to be part of the group of student groups that the law school chooses to fund for its own educational purposes, then they have to play by the same rules as everyone else.
Some high-profile groups have come in on both sides of this case. Paul Smith, is this a test case for separation of church and state that's being tested on this public university campus?
Well, it's what it really is a test case for when religious organizations are going to be able to claim a right to special exemptions from the rules that apply to everyone else. And obviously they have such a right in some cases. The government can't tell churches who to accept as members or even prayer groups who to accept as members. But this is pushing the line considerably further to say that they have a right to get paid for by the government and not abide by the same rules that, say, the law school Democrats abide by, where they were in order for them to get the money, they have to agree to have Republicans be their members. That's the rules at Hastings Law School. Like it or not, that it's not discrimination against religion or anybody else to have a common policy that applies to everyone.
Well, Paul Smith is the lead attorney for Hastings Outlaw. That's a gay rights group at Hastings College. He's also a partner in the litigation department of Jenner and Block. And Greg Baylor is the senior legal counsel with the Alliance Defense Fund and a lawyer for the Christian Legal Society chapter at Hastings. Thanks to both of you. Coming up, our friends at Frontline tell us about the practice of bacha bazi. It's a disturbing practice in Afghanistan that's centuries old, outlawed under the Taliban rule, now making a comeback. We'll talk more in a moment.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.